Good to see everybody today. Okay.
I'm done.
This is the last lesson in our series on transformation entitled Keep Change. Those of us who are in Christ are new creations, according to 2 Corinthians 5:17. But we're called to participate in this process of transformation. I remind you of the Apostle Paul's use in Romans 12, the first couple of verses, of the term metamorphosis when referring to the believer's need for transformation. Though we may be at different phases of the process, we're all becoming. We're all becoming. Yet in Philippians 3, 7 through 16, even Paul admitted that he had not yet fully developed. You can follow along on page 1829 of our Pew Bibles. I ask you to pay close attention to the Holy Spirit-inspired text there. I'll be picking up in verse 7 of chapter 3, Philippians 3. Paul says, "Whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I've lost all things. I consider them rubbish that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead." In verse 12, he says, "Not that I have already obtained all this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what's behind, straining toward what's ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus." All of us who are mature should take such a view of things. If on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Only let us live up to what we have already attained. Paul's focus should be our focus. His goal should be our goal. Notice that last expression about living up to what we've already attained. Keep the change. What changes God has made in you, what changes he has brought you through, the transformation you've already experienced, don't lose that. Don't lose that. But three times he stresses in the text that he's determined to strive yet for more transformation. Striving for a prize. He uses the phrases press on, straining forward toward the prize. What prize? Well, the prize here, I believe, isn't what we might readily think. I do not believe in context he's talking about heaven, but what he hopes to attain on the way there. He wants to be like Christ. That's the emphasis. He wants to have the personal righteousness that can only be possessed through faith in him. And according to Ephesians 4:24, we saw there that it's what we've been created for. It is what we've been created for. That we're to press on to that goal. And once more, remembering, he's urging us to live up to that which we've attained. No more backsliding. No more losing ground because of whatever attacks or assaults or accusations the enemy throws at us. And doesn't he do that? Doesn't he attack us? Doesn't he assault us? Doesn't he try to thwart our transformation? Doesn't he try to hinder that process? Doesn't he try to convince us that we should just give up? We should quit? No more losing ground, though. He's talking about digging in and holding the line of scrimmage, if you will. For some of us, wouldn't that alone be a victory? Just to hold on to what you've attained. Just to, again, keep the change that you've made so far. Wouldn't that be a victory for so many of you? Just to be able to say, you know what, I've come thus far. And maybe I've not been moving forward much lately, but I'm thankful that I haven't moved back either. For some of us, yes, that would be victory in and of itself. But don't miss this. He's also talking about gaining yardage, to keep that football analogy. Pressing on, see, toward the goal. Which again, just isn't passing through heaven's gates someday. It's becoming like the one who opened them for us today. So consider that metamorphosis again of the caterpillar becoming a butterfly. Keep that thought. We're to be changed, transformed. We're not to be just transformed so far and not completing the process, not becoming who he wants us to be. Matter of fact, with that example, if you will, we're to get to the point where we can spread our wings and fly. Now, how many of you know that not everything with wings flies? Not everything does. Penguins, do they fly? No, don't fly. How about ostriches? No, they don't fly. How many of you have seen this flock of turkeys that have made the neighborhood their habitat? Have you noticed them? Periodically, I see them flap their wings and gain some altitude. They fly over our fence at the parsonage. They fly up and down from roosts in trees. But they don't fly far, and they don't get too high off the ground. Some of you in this crowd, of my generation at least, will recall an episode of the 1970 sitcom WKRP, Cincinnati, where the station manager assumed that tossing live turkeys out of a helicopter would be a great advertising gimmick. It was a disaster. Why? Turkeys don't fly from that altitude, and they don't fly very far before they drop like a stone. Thanksgiving would never be the same in Cincinnati. Not everything with wings flies. But I'm telling you that God's people are meant to fly. I find it interesting that after wings have formed on the butterfly and it breaks free from that cocoon, it can't fly right away. It can't. The newly formed muscles that move the wings have to be flexed and exercised for a while before it can take flight. And probably in the lifespan of a butterfly, that's quite a long time that it has to do that. And the process of that transformation. Spiritually speaking, I'm convinced that some of us maybe have our wings, but we're not using them. And one of the reasons we're not using them and we're not getting far off the ground is because we're not flexing the muscles of the new creation. We're not exercising what God has given us. We're not doing that. And once again, I submit to you that we are intended as God's people to fly higher and farther than most of us do. In fact, one of my favorite passages in Scripture, well, it says as much. It's found in Isaiah 40. Listen to what the prophet has to say there. He says, "Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary, increases the power of the weak. Now even the very young grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength." Now listen carefully to this next line. they will soar on wings like eagles, not butterflies. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. We were made to soar. Catch that wording. We've seen again, we've understood, I hope, that we're new creations, created to be like God in true holiness, according to Ephesians. We're to be transformed through a process of renewal. And by God's sovereign grace and power, we who hope in Him are to soar. We can reach heights we never thought possible, individually and collectively. We can be lifted from the deepest pits by the current of God's wind beneath our wings, His Spirit. We can overcome obstacles. We can demolish strongholds that keep us chained to this earth. But so many of us think, no, that's not me. I don't know who you're talking about. That may be for some, but not for me. That I could never rise above where I am today. I could never be lifted from this mire that I'm stuck in. I could never be freed from what has me in bondage. I could never, ever, ever be victorious over this that has enslaved me and captured me and won't let me go. You may have bought that lie. Guess who says that to you? The accuser. He says, you cannot be like Jesus. You may have listened to him tell you that. He might have said to you, you of all people should know better. Yeah, that may be for others. It's not for you. It's not. You could never live like him. You could never give like him. You could never forgive like him. That's beyond the realm of possibility for you. Think again. Be renewed in your mind, as we talked about last week. If you're a born-again believer, you have all you need to become like Jesus. Because you have the Spirit of the living God within you. I want to read a text to you. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Just a couple of verses here. It says here, speaking of God, His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Well, I don't have what I need. Really? That's not what Peter says. By inspiration of the Spirit, he says, you have everything you need for life, but also for godliness, godlikeness, to be like God. You have what you need. Through these things He's given us, He's given us very great and precious promises so that through them we might participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. Do you hear that? It's pretty plain, isn't it? But we say, no, I can't. And as long as you keep saying, I can't, but not also admitting, but with God's help, I will, you won't. I shared with someone not long ago that I hear frequently people saying, well, I can't do that. I can't do what God's calling me to do. I can't. After all, I'm only, fill in the blank, human. Well, before you were born again, that was true. But if you have the Spirit of the living God within you, you are not only human. You're a child of God. You have the Spirit of God within you. You have power, divine power, and all that you need for godliness. All you need. The Apostle Paul in Philippians 4:13 shares some well-known words, I think, to many believers. But they're taken out of their context often. They're often abused. It's there where he says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Have you ever heard that? Have you ever quoted that? Ever said that? But Paul's not saying that we can become whoever we want to be. In context, you're saying we can become who God wants us to be. I've heard that text again used to tell young people, well, you know what, you can be president of the United States if you want to. You can be an astronaut. You just set your mind to it. You can be whatever you want to be. And I understand they're trying to encourage people to stretch and to grow and to reach out and set some goals and strive for those goals. But this is not saying that you can be whatever you want to be. It's saying you can be whatever God wants you to be. And in context again, content in all circumstances, and being able to endure whatever Satan throws at you without quitting. That you can be who God wants you to be in every circumstance, in every situation. But don't we often let the situation, the circumstance, dictate who we are? Instead of realizing, I am a child of God, and that's going to dictate how I respond to my situation and circumstance. That I've been empowered, I'm well supplied, and through Christ who gives me strength, I can do this. I can do this. I can do this. And who does he want us to be? Who does he want us to be like? We've said it over and over again. We've emphasized over and over again. But one more time, I'm going to ask you to open your hearts and listen to the reading of Romans 8, 28 through 39. I want you to let the word of the Lord sink in. Let the truth of it saturate your spirit. Let your mind be renewed about this subject.
And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified. What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own Son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake, we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future nor any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation, will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Amen. Let your mind be renewed about that. Paul says God's working all things to the good for those who love him. Do we have anyone here who loves him today? See, he foreknew you, and he predestined that you would be conformed to the image of his Son Jesus. You are destined for glory. But not just in heaven, in the here and the now. See, it says that you have already been justified. You've already been glorified. Wow. Good news. It's great to know where I'm going to end up. But it's wonderful to know how the journey's going to be, that God is going to be with me and God is going to be working through me and God is going to be transforming me and changing me to be more like Jesus. How many of you truly, come on, truly want to be like Jesus? Then what's standing in your way? If God is with us, who can be against us? Can the devil stop us? Can our circumstance, our situation stop us? He says, no, nothing. Nothing can stop the transformation, the process. Nothing. God's going to get it done. How much of it gets done between here and heaven is in some respects up to us. Whether we're going to, again, surrender to the process. We're going to shed that skin, enter that cocoon. Whether we're going to allow for God to change us. Is there effort on our part? We've shared that. And the greatest effort is really in just believing and surrendering to what seems to us impossible. But it's not impossible because what God says will come to pass. It will. And he says nothing, nothing, nothing that you can imagine, nothing in all creation, can separate you from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. In the bulletin article today, one of the things I say is that God loves you just as you are, but he loves you too much to leave you in rags. I share about how the word becoming is a word that we don't use too much in our culture. It sounds a little bit Victorian to say, oh, that hairstyle is so becoming. Or my goodness, you know, that new outfit you have, oh, it's so becoming. What do we mean by that? It suits you, it's appropriate to you, but it also makes you even more attractive. We're in the process of becoming, and the more we become like Jesus, the more becoming we are to the Father and also to the world. We're so interested and concerned sometimes about how we look in our own eyes. We should be more concerned about how we look in God's eyes. Amen? We really, sincerely should. God wants us to be like his son Jesus. And he promises that one day we will be. We'll be just like Christ. Meanwhile, I've got some growing to do. I confess that. I've got some muscles to flex before I can fly. I've not been created anew, though, to crawl around on the ground like a slug. And neither have you. By God's grace and power, what we've been created to be is what we're going to be. We're going to be. Just don't mouth words after me. But I would like for you to consider saying with me, from your heart of hearts, I'll say it first and you can repeat after me if it's real in your heart. I want to be like Jesus. I am going to be like Jesus. I'm going to be more like Jesus tomorrow than I am today. Are you? You can, and you will, if you'll surrender to God's process of transformation. In Revelation 21:5, the Lord says, behold, I am making all things new. Now, that's in the book of Revelation, and we look at that, so many people, and say, well, yeah, that's future tense. He's talking about what he's going to do. Notice he didn't say, behold, I'm going to make all things new. John had this revelation of Jesus. And Jesus was, yes, saying what the final outcome was going to be, but he was saying, I am making all things new. He's in the process of doing that. He's working on that renovation project right now. God works all things for the good for those who love him. And what's he working to accomplish? That we might be conformed to the image of his son, Jesus. May we participate in the process. May we do that. Not to get political, but just using the current events, the president's campaign slogan was, "Make America Great Again." Make America Great Again. There was those would argue, well, what do you mean? It's not great now. But God is more concerned about his kingdom being great than he is about America being great. But I do believe this with all of my heart, that the more we surrender to be the people in the kingdom that God wants us to be, the more that we can be catalysts for change in America and in the world. And I thought about, once again, the butterfly, once he gets his wings, what he does is he flies from flower to flower. Yes, pollinating, but also drinking. And in the process of that, he generates and promotes life, more life. Isn't that what we're called to do? We're not to just spread our wings and fly around so that we look good. And everybody's, oh, look how lovely and how wonderful you are. Once again, we are then to be people flying from, if I could say this, from person to person, from place to place, blessing and bringing life to this world. Does it need it? Does it desperately need it? It aches for it, longs for it. And God says, I'm making all things new, but I'm going to do it through you. Make you new first and use you to bring life and vitality and newness and beauty to the world that you live in. So many people are saying, yeah, I'm waiting for Jesus to come. Just let this world go to, pardon the expression, hell in a handcart, hands off. No, that's not what God calls us to do. Yes, we wait. But while we wait, we prepare ourselves. We are the bride, as we sang earlier. Be the bride of Christ. Put on the garments of praise and adoration and love. And let people see Christ in you and through you. Let's pray. Father God, I want to thank you in Jesus' name for the good news that we have heard today, that you, in fact, have not given up on us. You hold on to us and you lead us into better things. Father, I pray that we truly would be willing to surrender to the process of becoming more and more like Jesus and stop making excuses. Father, just look to you and admit, yes, we can't become as you want us to be without you working in us to create us anew, to change us daily. More and more into that image. Father, someone here right now today who feels like, yeah, they're trapped, they're ensnared, they're enslaved in their past or in their present, particularly if they are born-again believers. God, I just pray that something, once again, that we've shared today, something from your word, that your spirit would take that to their hearts and minds and rekindle faith that they can be changed. And for those who don't know you yet, the way that you want them to, haven't accepted Jesus as their Savior, I pray, Father, that they might recognize too that the way to change, not just lifelong change, but to eternal change, is through you and your Spirit. Thank you, in Jesus' name.